The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. This little petition of James and John, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" is closer to your heart than you might be willing to admit, okay? Let's take a closer look at this little statement. First of all, some background to this little gospel. You might already know this, but just in case you don't. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he has to pass through Samaria to get there. And nobody would welcome him. Because as you probably remember, Jews and Samaritans hated each other with a 600-year-old mutual hatred whose beginnings go something like this. The Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. The year was 587 BC. Conquered Jerusalem and took the people of Jerusalem away in chains, captive into Babylon for 60 years. But the Babylonians didn't do anything to the Samaritans. Samaritans lived to the north of Jerusalem. Babylonians left them alone. So after 60 years of being in captivity in Babylon, Jews return home, and they resent the Samaritans who were living up in the north, who weren't taken captives. And in the meantime, the Samaritans had intermarried with different peoples, they'd begun to worship false gods, and they become kind of hybrid half-Jews with no temple. And the Jews turned to the Samaritans and they said, "You're not real Jews," and the Samaritans resented them for that. Well, that's what began this great mutual hatred. So they're walking through the Samaritan town. Nobody will welcome him. And the apostles say, "Well, let's call down fire from heaven to consume them." And you know, would you believe they actually thought they were being virtuous in saying that? It's an exact replication of the story from the very beginning of the second book of Kings, in which the prophet Elijah three times prays God, call down fire from heaven on God's enemies. You know, the apostles thought they were being virtuous. They thought they were being like Elijah. So Jesus quietly silences them, and they move along. But you know, this little petition, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven?" It's closer to your heart than you're willing to admit. You see, I know that very few people will say this out loud. Very, very few people will say this even to their closest friends. But many, many people secretly wish that God would round up all of their enemies and just hit the delete button, right? Just poof, they're all gone. But he won't do it. He won't do it. He rebukes them and he goes on to another village. Why does Jesus rebuke this wish that so many of us secretly hold? I'll give you a couple of reasons. Okay, a couple of reasons. First of all, with God, there's always a larger plan afoot. God utilizes everyone for his purposes. Every single person is vitally important to God's purposes. Those who are the friends of God and those who are the enemies of God and doing the opposite of God's will, and all of us in between who are in the mushy, muddled middle, are vitally important. The Samaritans, for example, did you know that after Jesus ascended into heaven, most of the first Christians would come from the ranks of the Samaritans? And if the apostles had gotten their way and Jesus had called down fire from heaven to consume them, what would have happened to them then? See, consider this. All the people who you might today call your enemies are one of two things in God's reckoning. First, potentially, they are great allies. Very, very often, God turns the hearts of people who once were his enemies and they become very strong allies in the fight for the cause of all that God would want to reveal to the world. I'm thinking about people like St. Paul or St. Mary Magdalene or St. Matthew the tax collector or even more recent saints, you know, like Vincent de Paul. and they become vital allies. If God doesn't do that, he some way makes them work towards the good of those who love God every time and in a vital way. I'm thinking about the Pharaoh of Egypt. If not for the Pharaoh of Egypt, God would never have been able to manifest his glory at the Red Sea like he did. Or Pontius Pilate, the cowardly judge. I don't know how things would have unfolded, but if not for the cowardice of Pontius Pilate, we would not have known Good Friday as we know it. And there's so many examples of this. One of my favorite examples. Did you know that in October of 2007, Pope Benedict beatified 498 martyrs of the Spanish Civil War in the late 30s, one of whom was slated to be married to his fiancée on the day in which he was executed. Try to imagine that. And the night before he died by firing squad, the day which was supposed to be the day of his execution, he wrote a letter to his fiancée. And he said, I implore you, do not hate the people who do this. I implore you. They send me to God. If I had lived, we would have had many happy years together. But in martyrdom, I go to heaven. And I need you to come to heaven to be with me there forever. Do not hate these people. Listen, God always plays the long game. Don't think short term. Second reason, very, very simply, is that, you know, the friends of God don't let their lives stewed up in resentment. They just don't. It's a trap. Don't give in to anger. A lot of people think they're so virtuous being so angry all the time at everybody. Don't. You know, I think about people like St. Therese or Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who refused to get angry. They refused. They said, I feel sorry for those who are the enemies of Christ. I will pray for their conversion. But they would not give in to the trap of anger. Because understand, every sin you can commit is actually just a twisted, holy yearning. I could take the seven capital sins, I could give you a homily on how they're seven twisted, holy yearnings. That's why God's patient with us. And that's why he asks us to be patient with one another. God's plan will unfold according to his will in his good time. So, you know, just the next time you're ever tempted to want to call down fire from heaven and hit the delete button and smite all your enemies and just wish they would disappear, just remember, Jesus does not will it. Thank goodness he's patient with us. Thank goodness he's patient with us and doesn't punish us immediately for all of our sins and asks us for the same patience with one another. And let's give thanks that no matter how things appear, God is not finished with you yet. Amen.